I'm sorry about my lateness. I had a unexpected call of nature at about 5:02.
Oh. Night 55 drop. Which,
yeah, the night poos.
The night poos. Oh, I love that song.
Working on my night poos.
I don't understand. Nothing out of the ordinary has happened that much. I don't know why I'm suddenly got a sudden night poo situation.
Night poos.
I had a pie for lunch, which is not ordinary.
There you go.
Oh, there it is.
Do you think?
I had a pie for lunch. And now I got the night poos.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Closing in. I encourage you all to go and listen to that song.
There's a night poo on the rise. Hang on, what was that song, Matthew?
Go and listen to Night Moves. It's a great song.
Oh, okay.
Now that we're older, listen to it and go, this is why all old bastards like this song.
Yeah.
I also had a wonderful interaction with my son just, a minute before starting this, just to really kick off my good parenting. He came in to plug his phone in. He was pulling cables that I had running out of my computer. And I said, mate, can I just do that for you in a little bit? He went, no, and just plugged it in. And I just said, why do you never do anything I say? And we are. And it's go time on the Dad Pants podcast where we talk about our great parenting.
And then he left the room and he said, Mom, I think Dad's got the night poos.
Night poos. Well, I had the night poos and then I had the shits. Hey!
There we go.
All right, well, Dad Pants. That's what this is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd have to think so. I don't think it's right. So I'm Stu. And I've got the pants panel with me. The pants panel are a bunch of dad experts who we turn to for dad advice. Well, I do anyway, because I'm the only other one here. Let's go through them. Rich, how are you, sir?
G'day. Good, thank you. Stuart, thank you so much for letting me be here this evening.
Just checking in with you. How is your shed/barbecue configuration looking in your backyard at the moment?
Well, the shed and barbecue configuration is pretty good. I want to create a fire pit area, and I'm a little bit hesitant because I'm concerned that there might be a bit of stormwater drain plumbing to be digging up. So I'm just trying to figure out the best way of going about that at the moment. And it's a great way of procrastinating, just sitting there going, I'm not sure yet, darling. Sorry, just give us a couple more weeks.
Yeah. If you haven't got enough flame going with your four barbecues, you need to get a fire pit in there as well, I'd say.
Well, that's exactly right.
All right, Ben, how are you, sir?
Very well, Stu.
Any dishwasher-adjacent panic attacks lately?
No, nothing as of yet. I haven't been holding my breath, luckily, because it's been a while since we recorded.
There you go. And Matt, how's your mold situation from the elephant shower you got in your bathroom there? Mold all right?
Mold's going all right. Yep, just, bath mat issues still, holding firm.
And if none of what I've said in the last minute or so makes any sense to you, you're not listening to all the episodes. So come on, sort yourself out. All right, dadicdotes. Matt, you flagged that you had something for us, one or two little thingy bobbies.
I've got something for the pants panel to discuss. Whether what I've done is good.
That was definitely good dadness
or bad dadness.
Before you get your hopes up, it's just a Coke, no sugar.
Yeah, that's still pretty good dadness. Yeah. It's fair.
ASMR.
It's one of those really small, slender cans.
Yeah.
Does that eliminate some dadness from it?
Yeah. Sensible.
Well, for this time of night, I suppose.
Yeah, up all night.
Don't want to drink too much at this hour.
Two night wheeze. I don't know why I keep interrupting. I'm the one that has to edit this.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. We wish you well. I can start interrupting myself. So I need this clarified. So as part of my Dudley duties, which are removing spiders from the house, which we've gone over before, apparently that's my job because I like it or something, even though I hate spiders and I don't like it. Anyway, my eldest daughter had a spider in her room. She had filmed it rather than come and get me straight away. She thought it would be cool to show her friends just how big it was. And so by the time she came to get me, she was like, I don't know where it is. It went behind her curtains or something. Oh. So I was like, okay. And she's like, look, I'll show you how big it is. And I'm like, why did you film this instead of coming to get me when you saw it? Anyway, so I was like, well, all right, I'll pull the curtains open. I can't find it, whatever. And then about 10 minutes later, she came back and said, it's on the roof. And I said, cool. And she said, before that, she said, I'm not sleeping in my room.
Can I peel off three more TikToks before you
grab
it?
She said, I'm not sleeping in my room if you don't know where the spider is. And I was like, well, that's stupid, but okay, I get it, but that'll be annoying. And she was getting herself worked up. Anyway, so the spider's on the roof and I've got like a slipper to basically squish it if I need to. But it was just in an awkward position where I thought, I'm going to have to knock it off the roof. I'm going to have to be quiet here because she doesn't know about this. And I basically belted it off the roof.
Can I just say this is great parenting?
Yeah. Belted it off the roof. I don't know where it went. And waited a little bit and then whistled my way out of the room. And she said, did you kill it? And I said, sure did. And she
job's done.
Job's done. Haven't seen it since. I may have killed it by belting it off the roof, but
yeah.
But you didn't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Spiders are smart. They know where to get, so you can't get a good kind of wind up.
Yeah,
and a good kind of shot. It's like you want to just kind of get a thong's length out from the corner of the wall, like you're at putt putt or something.
That's pretty much like standing on her bed. Was just like we go, you would have been fine, but it was just like, oh, come on, if you just crawl a little bit closer, then I can really get it. But then I did think, oh, that's one for the pants paddle. Is that poor parenting or good, great parenting?
Oh, what, the not telling her?
Yeah. The goal became not killing the spider, the goal became her going to bed in her own bed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there's no way in the world she can prove if that spider jumps up and crawls over her head that it's the same spider.
Yeah. That's right. I know, but then again, then what's scarier, that it's one spider or that there's many? If there's two spiders, there's 50 spiders.
Well, I thought that at some stage, 50 spiders scares the shit out of me, just quietly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought at one stage you were going to say that you weren't able to find the spider. Your daughter decided not to sleep in that room. She then decided to sleep in your bed, having to go and sleep in her bedroom. Which
exactly right. Exactly. That was all these things were in my head of like, well, what's this going to lead to? What, she's going to sleep on the lounge? She's going to sleep in my bed? Where am I going to sleep in a room with a big spider? I don't want to do that.
Why is Dad sleeping out the front yard?
Yeah, that's right. Any spiders out there?
Yeah, right.
This is my bed. There are no spiders in this.
I'm going to go sleep out on the hammock. I'll show you.
I think it's okay. The odds are in your favour that nothing bad's going to happen. So, you know, it's that or, have some sort of many hours long situation where your kid won't go to bed.
Yeah, and then I'd have to actually look around every nook and cranny for a spider I really don't want to find.
And we all know that, like, that's already a stressful situation, let alone putting a spider into the mix.
Just getting a child out of bed.
Well, we got all of our children, all three of them. They were in bed at 8:25 tonight.
Wow.
Which is a fucking record
yeah.
for this household in the last 3 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
very proud of the parenting that went on this evening, mainly by my wife.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a parenting podcast. It doesn't sound like you're going to tell us what you did to make that happen.
Well, I let my wife take charge.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
good parenting move.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wish I could do the same with the spiders.
Well, can I tell you something about my wife? I'm not sure if we've covered this, but in regards to getting insects, my wife is an absolute crack shot with a fly swatter.
Oh.
Like, I'm yet to see her miss. And every time she gets the fly swatter out now, I kind of chase her around just so that I can see, like, is she going to miss today? Is she going to miss today? No, she's not going to miss today. Wow. She's still on the streak. And we've had this fly swatter now for about 18 months. And she's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
What I've also found out, I am terrible with a fly swatter.
Well, I've got a bit of a theory myself that I find that flies are much easier to catch at the start of summer and much harder at the end of summer.
Oh,
so I think they get used to ducking and weaving. Or evolution.
Yeah,
the smarter ones have survived.
Real quick.
Dumb ones are dead. They don't reproduce.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
Anyway. The circle of life goes on.
Bobbing and weaving.
My nan used to be amazing. She used to never use a fly swat, but she would grab them just in with her hand midair. So yes. She didn't slap it down. She didn't do the slap technique. She just did the grab technique.
The grab just above?
Oh, mate, she must have been going at 95% for sure.
Wow.
I never saw her miss. She was incredible. Like, if there was a fly buzzing around the table, she'd watch it for a second, and her hand would just shoot out and just bang it midair. Incredible.
Patience.
See, that's me in early summer before they get wise.
Right. Do you get fatigued, though, by the end of summer? It's all rotator cuffs.
You're getting shitter.
Fly fatigue.
Here in Canberra, it was a long weekend. It was a Canberra Day. That's a long weekend, which was nice. Yep, I think it's tomorrow, but we always get the Monday off. It's a delight. And so the last 2 years, friends of ours have invited us to, I guess, what can only be described as an old person's rave. It's like old DJs who were popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. And when I say popular, like not international renowned, but like locally renowned. And they have, an old person rave that starts on a Sunday of a long weekend at 1:30 in the afternoon.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. It's just everyone our age and older who have got kids and, don't bring their kids and leave by, I think we were home by 9 o'clock, and had a nice time, had a few drinks, had a dance.
Yeah.
And
how many times did you visit the scone food truck?
did they have a Devonshire tea stall?
They had a Devonshire tea. There was a lot of Voltaren on the go. People were passing
a lot of local jams.
Tubes of Voltaren. I saw a man drink a bee, which is something I'd never thought I'd seen. But
sorry?
Yeah, there were people drinking fruity cocktails. The bees were about because it's in the afternoon.
Oh, of course.
And it's outdoors. And there was a bee in this guy's drink, and I saw him swig it, and I went and said, I think you just drank a bee. And he was like, oh, is that what it was? Okay. And we waited, and he was like, oh, must be in my stomach now.
Oh, no.
So when anyone comes up and asks you if you've got any Mitsubishis, they literally mean, have you got a Magna?
That's right.
What have you got for kills?
That's exactly right. So there were obviously
you've been that bee guy waiting for it to come out though.
Yeah.
Get a kind of sting
the
on the
bee
way
guy.
Out.
The bee guy, yeah. So that's what I called him. All day I was like, the bee man, there he is again. But anyway, that while we were sitting around before it really sort of people started dancing, the phrase the gender fart gap was introduced to me.
Mm.
Ooh. Interesting.
So the gender fart gap, it goes like this. In a crowd of people, if someone does a rank fart, you are more likely to suspect a man did it than a woman.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
So if you're a woman, you have a gender fart gap where you can drop your guts and quite easily blame a man who's dancing next to you.
Especially if there's a fat bloke nearby.
And we are the proverbial dog.
Sorry, what was that, Buckle?
So especially if there's a fat bloke next.
Yes, exactly right.
Fat blokes always get blamed.
So there are a lot of sweaty 40-year-old large men dancing around near you.
Pie-eating men.
The pie-eating men. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Who are
sugar-free coked necking.
Who have drank a hoppy beer, chugged it at, 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and then got up to dance.
Had some jam and cream.
It's some jam and cream, got the scones out. And then, that was introduced to me. And I thought, I better bring it to our attention that I ask your lovely wives this question. And I'm sure they would agree that if they were out and there were a lot of men dancing near them and a rank fart drifted through, who were they blaming?
I'm absolutely 100% with that. That is, I don't know what we do about this, though. What do we do? Like, I mean, I suppose...
Oh, you don't do anything about it. It makes up for the gender pay gap, I think. That's what we all decided.
Okay.
There's balance. There's balance in the world. Sure, you don't get paid as much as men.
But you get accused of farting more.
But you can fart freely in a group.
Yeah, you can fart. And then the best thing was, of course, like later in the evening, there were, the farts were drifting through the crowd and it was, gender fart gap.
So to establish that the gender pay gap was real, they must have got a bunch of, salaries from people in similar roles and then made a bit of a list or a database of that.
Yeah.
In this instance, what are we doing? Are we making a kind of database of people of when they were farting and got blamed versus when they didn't fart and get blamed and then see what the gender divide is there?
Well, we can look at the data, the scientific data, and this is the methane ceiling data which comes out there, is that if you have a look at it, while women are scientifically do fart less, there is evidence that their farts are more rank. They have a much higher concentration of sulfur in their farts than men.
Right. So
that's actually genuine scientific evidence that women's farts, on average, have a higher sulfur content and therefore have that rotten egg smell. So, don't be quick to judge. Next time you're out there, maybe this is the awareness campaign that we didn't need to have that we need to put out there.
Well, okay. I think, I always like to find a little nugget to use in a social media post. And I think that is a very antagonistic way to get some promotion for this show. So
absolutely,
we'll get that out there.
I would also say that I would be happy to be a part of a study. Where there is just maybe a group of 50 men and 50 women in a room for a day.
Yeah.
And then basically anytime you smell a fart, you have to accuse someone of doing it.
Yeah. And we'll just... And then...
I thought you were going to say...
It's like dibs not.
Yeah.
You'd be happy to be in a study where you're in a room and a bunch of women come in and they just fart and down the line...
No.
You've got to say whether you think it's worse than yours or not.
To be fair, I work in a female-dominated industry, and so any time that people fart around me, you get the death stares.
Yeah.
And so there's this automatic assumption that it's me and not, and I know it wasn't me. Like I know when I fart normally.
Yeah. And I know when Jennifer farts, that's for sure. Jennifer.
This is the thing. Jennifer, John. Yeah. And this is the thing. It's the assumption that it's going
to
be me.
That's right. And bringing awareness to it doesn't solve anything because then, like I said, when we're in the crowd later and someone farted, my wife was like, was that you? And now we've talked about the gender fart gap. You have an alibi to say, that it wasn't you. And I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. Some kind of Andrew Tate reverse.
Playing the Andrew Tate reverse card.
Yeah.
I think we should use this, though, because, you know, anyone who's just gone, oh, did you fart, mate? They're not going to expect to have their privilege checked and their prejudices pointed out, are they?
No.
Well, no, but we could be the start of something big.
The world. It's a weird place. My name is Stuart Buckland. And some guests and I are going to look at all the weird stuff that happens in this world of ours. Is that suitably vague enough for you? Bit weird, but fair enough, I guess. Find this podcast wherever you listen to other podcasts. Got a listener question.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that, you bunch of fucking...
You could have just left off question and we would have had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so the question from Paul. What advice do you give to get your kids to stick to or help focus on their hobbies?
Mm-hmm.
Pants panel, do you ever got any advice for... how to get your kids to have that stick-to-itiveness that might sometimes be lacking?
I don't know. I think that hobbies should always come from a place of passion. So if they're not into it, then you can't force that. You're just going to have the pushback. Having said that, there's some things that you probably would encourage more strongly. So, for example, the tenacity that it takes to learn a musical instrument or to swim in order to survive are probably things that you're pushing in a little bit harder on. But yeah, I think that for mine, it just has to come from that place of want. Without that, you're going to be pushing it well uphill.
Yeah, and it's hard, especially at the start, right? Like as you were saying, Ellis, the musical instrument's a classic example of when you start something, it's hard, but the more you do it, that, like, I don't know, it depends. The drive might not be there because they are doing it. I've got a daughter who I'm pretty sure does things that we suggest and just hopes we'll forget about it over time. I don't quite know. She's very passive in just her interests. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we've got this again. And she's like, what? I thought that had stopped. And we're like, do you want to go? Not really. And you're like, well, you gotta tell us that. And that
we've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, if you don't want to do it, I don't want to pay for you to go and do it. Like, she did fencing last year, and then she just kept saying, we're like, do you want to do it next year? And all she kept saying was, I think it's expensive the second year because you have to buy your own equipment. And we're like, okay, do you want to do it? Yeah, it's just expensive. And we're like, okay. And then started this year, we're like, all right, you're back at fencing next week. And she was like, I don't want to do fencing. Like, okay, you gotta tell us that. But
dad, you bought gear?
No, but that was, she was like, but I said it's too expensive. I go, that's different from you telling me what you actually want. So that's a hard bit. But it's very, like, very true. Like, my eldest, she's playing basketball again. She's played for 6 years now or something like that. And you can tell, like, Wiggins, I don't know if you remember, but I remember messaging you because the first game she played, they lost 58-4 or something like that.
Yep.
And I messaged Wiggo and he said, like, the first game he played, they, I don't know, it was like 50-0 or 60-0 or something.
64-1.
There you go. And she came home from that and she was like, yeah, awesome, it was great.
Awesome scoreline.
Yeah, 64.
Well, I remember because Jess Ripper hit the only free throw of the game. Yeah, wow.
I was going to say the one.
Did a lap. But yeah, she came back from, you know, losing 58-4 and was like, yep, cool. That was great. Can't wait for next week. So there's yeah, if the drive's not there, then it's hard. But, I mean, they got to do schoolwork. That's a classic example.
What about if you know that your child's just being fickle and that they're having a momentary kind of reluctance or a momentary kind of thing? Do you push them, or do you just go, oh, well?
You know. Well, I've got an example that sort of touches on a couple of different points here. So Harvey, we gave him the option of doing karate when he was young, and it was something that he wanted to do. He was only like 6 or 7 at the time, but he enjoyed it. And then when he got his junior black belt or whatever it was, he just said, no, I don't want to do that anymore. So I was like, all right, no worries. So he did some other things, played a little bit of basketball, did a little bit of that, did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then over the course of about 6 months, just said, I want to do karate again.
Yeah.
And that narrative was there for that whole 6 months. It was just like, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. And so we re-enrolled him. And now he's been really good at, you know, we have to go twice a week. And it's usually later in the evening, but it's that afternoon conversation now of when he says, oh, I don't really need to go.
And oh, come on, dude.
It was just like, well, this is what you wanted.
Yeah.
And we don't get any pushback now. Like as soon as I've said to him, you asked for this, he's like, all right, no worries. So there's a, to your point, Ellis, there's a real love. Or a real enjoyment of that activity that he doesn't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, and because he doesn't really enjoy sport. Like he doesn't, he's not a team sport player. And so he's getting that, I suppose, that 15-year-old getting to beat people up without having to beat people up sort of testosterone hit. But you know, there's a real enjoyment there, and he's gotten so good. Like he would beat the shit out of me now. And that just happened all of a sudden.
Whoa, whoa,
like,
time that's to another stop
story,
now.
Right?
Dad's going to karate.
Well, he kicked me in the ribs like a couple of months ago.
What?
Well, it wasn't a full on like whack in the ribs. He just sort of tapped me on the ribs, and I was like, oh no. Like I'd
going down.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a real love and a want. There was a want to do it.
I mean, the question
is a really good little story Kurt Vonnegut or something. It could be apocryphal or not, but you know, he's talking about how he was on an archaeological dig or something, and he went up to someone and he started talking about how he really enjoys drawing to someone. He was like, oh, but I'm not very good at it. And the person he was talking to was like, that doesn't matter. If you're enjoying it, then that's all that really matters. So you've got to ask, who's the hobby for? Is it for you or for the kids? If the kids are getting something out of it and they do it for 6 months and they have some fun with it and it hasn't busted your wallet, then that's awesome. They're experiencing a lot of different things and meeting different people and trying new stuff. If you think they're going to get something out of the hobby, like, for example, oh, you need to learn a musical instrument so that one day you can entertain your friends at parties when you're drunk. Like, you know, that's for you. That's your opinion. It's not necessarily going to be theirs. So I think that, you know, it's really got to come down to, as you said, Williams, their decision and their willingness. They've got to want to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, well what I was going to say was, Stu, you were going to say the question was, what's the advice? Or what do you say to your kids? That's what Paul had asked, right? So, Maddie, I don't know where you're going to go with this, but what I would say is, what do you want to do? Like, that's... And again, to Richard's point, who's the hobby for? You know, like, what have they chosen? Have you chosen it for them? Or have they actually gotten to choose that themselves? And for the first time in a long time, all three children in our house are now doing something that they've gotten to choose. And because Rose plays soccer for the first time this weekend, and she's been banging on about that for the last 9 months. So Louis playing basketball.
Yeah.
Harvey's doing exactly. Women's World Cup, man. It fucking smashed them.
It's wicked. Wicked. It's so good.
There are 9 under 8 teams in the local.
What?
Just in the local East Gosford side. 9 under 8s. 2 all girls teams.
That is awesome. I went to the A-League game on the weekend, and just the number of dads and daughter combos at the soccer was really great to see. Yeah.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
So what I would say to Paul is that you can never, ever underestimate your children's contrariness.
Yeah.
So if you push them or nudge them or even just try and make it look like something's your idea, that's the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
If you want to nudge them or try and make sure they're sticking to something, for God's sake, find a way to make it their idea. That's pretty much all we can say, I think.
I would always sort of push them at first. Give them one push, I guess, is the way to do it. Because sometimes they're just, like you said, they're going to be contrary. Mm. They don't want to do it. They had a rubbish day and they just don't want to go. If they go and they still don't like it, then I wouldn't keep pushing at it. Because then again, that just becomes you. You become one of, you know, my Noelle played soccer for a year and she didn't really enjoy it. But like, there were kids who did enjoy it and their parents were just dicks anyway.
Hmm.
Like just the worst. And you're just like, all right, well, that's going to... Eventually your kids either going to resent the sport or resent you if you keep pushing them harder than they want to be pushed.
Yep.
I don't know. You can look up... If you want your child to be elite, then I think you have to be horrible to them. That's a belief that a lot of famous... sport,
and they have to be horrible children as well. Like they,
yeah, and they have to be horrible children.
They're never pleasant people. Never pleasant people.
No. So if that's your goal, then yeah, just be terrible to them. Right. I guess, but
yeah,
be terrible. Make sure they turn to be terrible children.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me summarize that advice. Either let them decide, or be so horrible to them that they turn into some sort of hyper competitive.
Then they play tennis and golf.
Tennis and golf.
The same action over and over and over and over and over again.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to continue this one now, but I have got a question for maybe another day.
Yeah.
How do you relate to other parents when your child is doing a sport? Like,
great question.
You're at the same place week in, week out, and you have no relationship with them whatsoever, other than the fact that your children are sharing this time and space. And yet, if you struck up conversation one week and then don't the next.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So,
I mean, there's only so many times you can just wait in your car.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
this is what comes with it, right? The wonderful thing about having an older child is that
drop and run.
For example, we are the drop and run.
Mm, yeah.
So I don't have to sit in the karate room with 6 other parents looking at each other awkwardly, and being the parent that's like, no one wants to look at their phone first because you're at watching karate. You should be watching engaged. This. This is important. It's like, I'm not fucking learning it.
Yeah,
I've got 2 tips for that. Two tips for that. Firstly, karate or something like that where it's, you know, in a smaller space, I take my laptop and I just look busy. Like I'm doing work.
Is that, that's a dick move as well, though. Like, these are really genuinely nice people. I've got no problems with it, but it's that awkward week after week. Am I now obliged to continually talk to the same people? Week in, week out, because we've had 1 or 2 good conversations. Like, we're not friends.
Well,
I don't want to be an arsehole.
Find a way to help the coach or whoever. So in soccer,
I
just go and plonk myself down behind the goals to catch all the loose shots.
Yep, and there'd be plenty.
And no one follows me down there, so I'm just standing there by myself.
Mm.
It's bliss.
I just like sport so much that I like just watching the game and enjoying whatever's happening. no matter.
Yeah.
And not, but not being like, one-eyed. But I know what you mean. Like, basketball is a delight, but there's the parents, because the parents tend to be engaged in the game, so there isn't much chit-chat.
Yeah.
It's not the same as, I don't know, maybe because it's indoors. So the only issue is the parent who's a complete dick, which we've had in the past, and, you know, who swears and gets really annoyed
at, I think,
you know,
that's
these 14-year-old or 13-year-old children who can't, like, get a rebound, or,
I think we
you
know that it is.
Yeah.
Really, Wiggins? Are you that guy? Oh, like, I've had to speak to parents before. Like, maybe don't swear at the children who are
playing
on a Saturday afternoon.
And is that exactly what you say to them, Matty?
Yeah, I just said, excuse me, like, that's just not on. And he was like, it's frustrating. And I said, you have to find a different way to, like, express that. But he was a right dick. And
yeah. I don't doubt that, but at the same time, that's pretty ballsy stepping up and saying it to him.
I
haven't been in the situation myself, so I'm just, you know.
It's just gross. Like, it's not,
absolutely.
Sorry, sir.
Absolutely.
Not welcome.
Well, I'm not swearing at the children. I'm just swearing at my own child under my breath. Does that count?
Well, and I suppose what I'm experiencing now is like tennis. So you're sitting there, tennis training, not even a match. So you're sitting there watching them
tennis,
literally kind of doing nothing. Like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. So there's little to no action going on out there. Like, there's no... I can understand what you're saying about being involved in the game. Like, that sounds great to me. And that's like... then you can kind of... You don't have to talk to someone else while that's happening.
Yeah, wow.
Bloody tennis. And that's the problem, right? With a sport like that, they'll have 8 kids in a group. So you'll get, like... 8 hits in 30 minutes.
Yeah. But also, that's 8 groups of
parents.
So you've
got to pay for a fucking single lesson.
What percentage of the parents?
Yes. You've got to pay for single lessons for them to get a crack.
And then what percentage of the parents do you not want to talk to?
All of them. 100%
of
the parents.
All of them. Okay.
I just usually fart and walk away and blame one of the mothers. So, you know, it's my usual move. There we go.
All right.
I've solved my own problem.
Well, there you are, Paul. Pick through all that and take what you would like out of it.
Oh, I've got something for the...
Hang on a sec. Who might be Rich? Are you kind of shuffling your... microphone around or whatever you're using there a bit?
I hope not.
Oh, okay.
It might be being picked up. As I say, I've just got earbuds in.
All right.
And I'm sitting in the dark by myself without touching anything.
Unlikely.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
All right. All good.
It might be a different noise.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.
The Fight Cap is real. Tell people about it. Tell them. We're not going to be blamed anymore. Tell them, get the word out. You can't trust mainstream media. They're not reporting on this. The gender fart gap is real.